Europe's economy, is it recovering or recoiling? From APM, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Today is the 14th of January, 2013. And coming up, we'll take a look at Beijing, where pollution this weekend was literally off the charts. A mystery invitation to come and see what we're building is generating plenty of buzz for Facebook. And Motor City shows off its green side. It's all coming up on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
We'll start with some optimism from Christine Lagarde, the head of the International Monetary Fund, who said this to the BBC today.
You know, we forecast the Eurozone to be delivering growth in 2013, which is better than the recession that it has experienced in 2012. So there is an improvement. And there is the beginning of recovery.
Now, the numbers from European officials this morning tell a bit of a different story. Industrial output in the Eurozone dropped in November by the most in 3 years. For more on all this, let's bring in Julia Coronado. She is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, is this kind of weakening in the euro economy something that should concern us at this point in the United States?
Well, I mean, I think one thing that concerns us is that it does take a toll on the global economy. And of course, that does impact the U.S. through export growth and so on. Another thing that should concern us is that this is the lesson that comes from fiscal tightening. We do pay a price from the kind of fiscal tightening measures that Europe has put in place. And we also have put some measures in place that we're going to bear the brunt of this year.
But there has been a fair bit of time now since the last real flare-up in the European debt crisis. It does seem like things are calming down to some degree. Is that the reality of it, or is that just the appearance?
Well, that's the reality for financial markets. So remember, it was the meltdown in financial markets that forced fiscal discipline onto European policymakers. Financial markets have been satisfied with the measures that have been taken, but now the economy has to absorb the blow of these measures. So there's a bit of a disconnect there.
Now, Christine Lagarde, the head of the IMF, said today that she thinks that the euro economies are going to start to recover in 2013. Do you think that's optimistic or is that realistic?
You know, I think that's realistic, but it depends on how we define begin to recover. So we also expect to see some positive growth numbers by year end, but the first half of the year is going to be a pretty rough ride.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks as always.
It's a pleasure.
Well, now to Beijing, where the air pollution was so bad over the weekend that the city ordered all government vehicles off the road. And some state-owned enterprises were shut down to try and keep the situation from getting worse. For more, let's bring in Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz, who's in Shanghai. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so, Rob, how bad is the air today?
Well, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, for example, uses what's called the Air Quality Index to show you how clean the air is. And the range goes from zero, which is alpine meadow clean, to about 500, which is sort of like London in the Industrial Revolution era. So right now in New York City, where you are, the level's at 45, which is pretty good.
Hmm.
Here in China, in Beijing over the weekend, though, the number got as high as 755.
Wait, 755? I thought that the numbers only went from zero to 500.
They usually do, but the air was so bad in Beijing that it actually went beyond the worst levels of the EPA's
wow.
own index. So this was the highest air pollution level we've seen since the U.S. Embassy, and now the China's own government has been reporting air quality levels in Beijing. It's a big public health threat because much of the pollution is fine particulate matter that's so small that it can enter your bloodstream and cause a variety of circulatory and respiratory problems. And part of the problem right now is that there's a weather system that's sort of stalled in northern China, and so there's not much wind to get that out of the area.
Now, this pollution in China's biggest cities is not a new issue, but I did think that it was an issue that some progress was being made on.
Well, the city of Beijing has made some progress lately. They've moved factories outside the city. They've tightened vehicle emission standards. But the problem here isn't really much Beijing as it is the smaller cities outside of Beijing where local government officials really haven't treated the environment as a priority. So it's really impacting the entire region.
And Rob, people who want to go and see pictures of this pollution right now can go to our website, marketplace.org, where we've got some pictures. But what is the economic impact of something like this?
Well, as you can imagine, it has a huge healthcare system impact. Over the weekend, Peking University's hospital reported twice as many heart attack cases as normal. The Beijing Children's Hospital said a third of outpatient cases this weekend were due to lung problems. So, the World Bank has estimated air pollution in China has meant a loss of around 5% of China's GDP each year. So that's around $360 billion lost each year thanks to air pollution in China.
Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Facebook is promising a big announcement tomorrow at its Silicon Valley headquarters. Reporters have been invited to, quote, come and see what we're building, end quote. And if that PR strategy for a new product launch feels kind of familiar, that's because it is. Our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, reports.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
No one was more successful at generating buzz than that late master of suspense, Steve Jobs.
And we'd like to show it to you today for the first time.
It's definitely an art form.
Tech analyst Jeff Kagan's not surprised Facebook's borrowing a page from Apple's playbook. It might not be taught in business school, he says, but suspense sells.
If you do it right, it can be more successful than anything else. They can blow the roof off.
Kagan's eager to see if Facebook will introduce its own mobile phone. Doubtful, says tech analyst Rob Enderle. He's guessing maybe some kind of new shopping service. But the point is, he's guessing.
For not a lot of money, they're getting everybody talking about Facebook and speculating about what it is they're going to do or not going to do or whatever, and it's giving them ink.
Wedbush analyst Michael Pachter says the media love to overhype things. He's expecting something more modest.
You know, everybody puts two and two together, and it looks like it adds up to four, but it never quite gets there.
Never say never.
This is really hot. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. It's just incredible.
I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The North American International Auto Show is getting underway today in Detroit, and gone are the questions about whether the big U.S. automakers will survive post-bailout. They did better last year than in any year since the recession began. So what does the road ahead look like? Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Facing ambitious new mileage standards over the next decade and higher gas prices, automakers are touting fuel efficiency at the auto show. And no longer is it just for mid-market compacts. Even pickups and sports cars like the new Chevy Corvette brag on their gas mileage. One thing that's changed from decades past, says auto industry analyst Paul Eisenstein at the DetroitBureau.com, the domestic car market has become truly international.
Does Detroit still matter as the dominant player in the U.S. auto industry? No. There is competition from all over the world that'll probably continue to grow.
But Eisenstein says there's a flip side. GM has to compete with Hyundai or BMW here, and those companies have to take the U.S. automakers seriously abroad.
Chevrolet had record sales last year, significant enough, but 60% of their volume occurred overseas. And a good portion of that took place in all the emerging markets like China, Brazil, and Russia.
Automakers could have record profits this year, and luxury cars are expected to fly off showroom floors. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Apple stock is down sharply this morning after a report that demand for the iPhone 5 could be waning. The Wall Street Journal reports that Apple has cut its orders for iPhone 5 components like screens because of weak demand. David Brancaccio hosts Marketplace Tech, and he joins me now here in the studio. Morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, so I guess the implication here is that if they're not ordering as many screens, as the Wall Street Journal says, that demand is not good. Sales won't be good.
Right. And some analysts have been smelling this in the air for a couple of weeks now. Now we have Reuters and the Journal reporting what looks like hard evidence that while the phone is doing okay, it now faces fierce competition from some perfectly fine other smartphones made by, for instance, Samsung. I should have known this would happen. Going into the holidays, my mobile phone company offered to upgrade my college kids to an iPhone 4.
Yeah.
That's the previous generation. But still, iPhone for free. free, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And I thought, great way to take care of the holiday gift giving. So I showed Nick and Madeline the free iPhone, but there was an option, $129 upgrade to a Samsung Galaxy 2. Both kids said, maybe the Samsung.
They'll take the Samsung. That's got to be that kind of thing. I mean, especially going along with a story like this, has got to be pretty worrying for Apple. How serious is it for the company?
Well, it means that Apple, if it means that Apple is somehow falling out of vogue, it could be a warning that Apple can't keep demanding the higher prices it does for its gear moving forward. Now, there have been rumors in recent days of a so-called iPhone mini. This might be a smaller iPhone. Or it could be an iPhone stripped of some features so it sells for less. Something like that could expand its market or cannibalize sales and hurt profits.
And right now we're looking at the Apple stock price. It's down just above $500 a share, down 3% almost this morning.
And you know who's having a much better day than Apple? Samsung of South Korea. It announced sales of its Galaxy S smartphone, the iPhone rival, have reached an enormous 100 million.
Hmm. Marketplace tech host David Brancaccio, thanks a lot.
You bet.
And finally to the White House, which has just shot down a few ideas. You may have heard that the trillion-dollar coin will not be minted as a backdoor solution to raising the debt ceiling. But then there is this news. Despite a petition that got more than 34,000 signatures, the White House will not construct a Death Star spacecraft for national defense. A White House spokesman responded to the request, saying the administration does not support blowing up planets, and besides, a Death Star would cost an estimated $850 quadrillion. I'm Jeremy Hobson in New York. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.